Good morning, church. The fact that we show our VVS video, it means it's that time of the year. Back to school. And so this is a Sunday that we dedicate for our students and our teachers, and actually all of us, whether going back to work or going back home, to be reminded of our calling in our life. And so with that, I'd like to ask our preschool children to go to their teaching. And as they do that, if you could turn with me to our scripture reading, which comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 17 through 21. And this is reading of God's word. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Elementary students will stay with us for the duration of the time. It might be a bit challenging, but it's okay because it's the same Holy Spirit who works in us, no matter what your ages are. So students, or maybe our adults, I'm going to read off some names, and I want you to see if you know them. Ronald Johnson. Do you know Ronald? George Glass. Maybe you know this one. Julie Chung. You may know of a Julie Chung. I don't know if these names sound familiar, but as of July 28th, they are U.S. ambassadors to Mexico, Japan, and Sri Lanka. Remember these names for future trivia questions. Ambassadors, U.S. ambassadors to different foreign nations. So the question this morning is, what is an ambassador? How do you become an ambassador? What's the responsibility as U.S. ambassadors? I actually looked at how much they make, too. Pretty decent. This morning's passage, when I read it, Paul actually states himself and his fellow gospel workers as ambassadors for Christ. So what does that mean, being an ambassador for Christ? Are we, as Christians, ambassadors for Christ? I stated, today's Back to School Sunday for our students, teachers, and all grades are returning to school. School is a place of learning, building friendships, figuring out what you're good at, what you're not. But it's much more than these things that I just mentioned. According to the Bible, it's pretty significant, the place you return. We have a big group of college rising freshmen who are headed to college for the first time. They're actually moving away from their parents and their siblings. Some students are transitioning from different school to another. I think it's quite normal for these students to feel anxious and worried. There's a lot of unknowns. Would I make friends? Would I be alone during lunchtime? Would I comprehend what is being taught to me? It's not only you, students. Some parents are quite worried. Will my child do well at school? And this thing comes coming up. Would my child find a friend? Actually, but few moms are quite happy that their children are returning back to school because they're gaining back somewhat normalcy of life. A little bit of freedom, I think. Back to school Sunday. Last Sunday, we examined a life that is shaped by the gospel. We have concluded the gospel actually shapes Christians. We learned that identity in Christ defines our purpose in life, our goal, and that goal moves us to be sacrificial. And not only being sacrificial, but maintain a disciplined life. This morning, whether you're a student or teachers, going back to school, or many of you going back to work, and some of you going back to your home as stay-at-home mom with young children, we'll examine the meaning when the Bible states that you and I, if you are in Christ, we are ambassadors for Christ. So the title is Gospel-Shaped Life 2. I divided the message into three parts. That we are ambassadors. Number two, the work of an ambassador. And number three, the heart of an ambassador. And then we'll partake in communion. Pretty simple. First, we begin. That we are ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, I read again, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So Paul, in this verse, begins with, we are ambassadors for Christ. But don't misunderstand, the we here is a reference to himself and his gospel workers or missionaries who had devoted their time at Corinth. It doesn't include the Corinthians at this moment. So the question is, what is an ambassador? Why does Paul use this word? Because there are so many metaphors that Paul could have used as a Christian. Bible's full of them. But he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. I kind of Google search, what is an ambassador? Quote, an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. That's an ambassador. And therefore, in the U.S., U.S. ambassadors are actually appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. So Paul says, when he says we are ambassadors for Christ, he is actually saying that Christ has called me, appointed me, and commissioned me to be an ambassador for my Lord and King to you guys at Corinth. And right off, it establishes his authority and his position. We'll come back to this later. Biblical principle number one, you and I are not apostles that stopped, but all Christians are ambassadors for Christ. Why? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, but you are, speaking to Gentile Christians in Asia Minor, you are chosen race, elected, chosen by God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a group of people, a nation that is set apart, a people for His, God's own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So what the Bible says, that we have been redeemed and given this amazing identity, chosen royal priesthood, a holy nation, ambassador for Christ. Why? To proclaim the excellency of the one who called us. In other words, if you are in Christ, God has first called you to Himself. That's what verse 17 says. Therefore, if anyone, that is, no matter your past sins or no matter your checkered past, anyone is in Christ, that is, union with Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Paul goes out of the way to this irreversible change of position. The old has gone, passed away, the new has come. You are a new creation in Christ. Notice Paul doesn't say, he didn't make you and I a little better. He didn't make you and I, God kind of tweaked few characteristic flaws in our lives and changed it. He says it's brand new. New creation, new heart, and new mind. So God calls us to Himself first, and then we're told that we are commissioned to the world and sent to be representative of Christ. Look with me, verse 18b. Who gave us the ministry of reconciliation, verse 19b, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Now, what does that really mean, students, that we are ambassadors for Christ? That is, if you in Christ. You know, these days, the world is really turned upside down because our president has tariffs, the percentage going way up. You hear the news of different foreign countries, their leaders really trying to reach out to U.S. and get in touch with the U.S. ambassador in their country to make things right. Would you rather be a U.S. ambassador or ambassador of some poor nation? I would prefer to be an ambassador of a powerful, influential position to give and be generous, yes? Not you always have to kiss up and try to make things right so that your country will survive. Well, according to the Bible, we are ambassadors for Christ. Christ, the risen Christ, holds the whole world in His hand. That He's Lord of all. What do you think about that? That you actually are an ambassador for Christ. We represent the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I think this is where we go wrong sometimes. Oh, the position of power. Well, we will see that it doesn't work that way, though. But I want to communicate to our students who go back to their school and our teachers and all of you going back to work. You are an ambassador of the King of Kings. You are blessed to be a blessing. In other words, don't shrink away because you're in Christ. It's something that empowers you to be free because you are a channel of amazing, transforming, life-giving hope vessel. That's what it establishes, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Secondly, then what's the works of an ambassador? Verses 18 through 19. All this is from God. What I just read, the transformation, saving of sinners, new creation, all this is not your doing or we added anything to it, but it's all is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The Bible assumes that the world and God's relationship is broken. He uses the word reconciliation. It's actually broken, it's estranged, or it's shattered, alienated. That's the Bible term. And therefore, God is in the business of reconciling, redeeming, forgiving, bringing sinners as sons and daughters to himself. And the Bible says that, I don't know why, but God has chosen you and I to save, give us life, and to be this channel of grace. So the question this morning is, what is our work? If you look at these two verses, I think there's two things that comes out. I did a little research. I'm pretty good at getting at Google. Just type in some stuff. And it says, what are the works of U.S. ambassadors? You know what they do? It says, quote, it's to ensure effective communication and coordination between their home country and the receiving country. It's a line of communication coordination. They serve the ambassadors as the primary point of contact for the receiving country's government. They're the primary contact. So if we turn this into a Christian form, that if you are in Christ as ambassador of Christ, that we become the primary point of contact to who God is, to wherever God placed you. It's a line of communication. What a privilege. And someone said this to me. We get to know who Jesus is through the Bible, but not all people read the Bible. Therefore, you and I are walking Bibles to those who don't know Christ. Notice what Paul says. Entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. You know what that means? The emphasis is the message. Not you and I first. The emphasis is the gospel. And the gospel is good news. You know what that means? God has taken action. And the good news is announced or proclaimed. God is not negotiating with the world. He is both announcing and confronting. And therefore, the inclusiveness of the gospel, that is for anyone, no matter what your check of past is, but the inclusiveness of the gospel, that is only in Christ there is forgiveness, not a little religion, is not an arrogant approach, but it is a simply faithful stewardship, church. If you believe in the gospel. The emphasis is the message. You know, preparing for this message, I listened to a few sermons by someone I've been really enjoying, D.A. Carson. And he says something interesting. He says, you know, a lot of people in the evangelical circle says this. They quote Francis of Assisi. You know, he was back then a long time ago. And this is what he says. He says, proclaim the gospel, then if no one receives it, then use words. Essentially what he's saying is, let your life show. You know what D.A. Carson says? That's heresy. Yeah, our lives must embody the gospel. But it's the message that Christ died for sinners, and only in Christ there's eternal life. You see, The question this morning is, when was the last time that God has given us the opportunities to actually share the exact content of the gospel? Because that's our goal. The emphasis is not you or me, it's the message. Do you know what's the qualification of U.S. ambassadors? This is the work number two. I read it, that there's no set qualification to be a U.S. ambassador. But it does say that graduate degree is preferred. So if you want to be a U.S. ambassador, students, look into graduate school. Hold a degree in political science, international relations. That makes sense, right? And then it says history with the country he or she will be stationed in. There's a relationship. Because he or she knows the language and culture. You know what it means to qualification to be an ambassador for Christ? Not a graduate degree. Qualification to be ambassador for Christ is to acknowledge that you and I are hopeless and helplessly lost as a sinner before God. That's the beginning point. And to say, God's mercy and grace has saved me. That's the qualification. Anybody can qualify to be an ambassador, you see. And some of you, I know many students struggle with it, but my life is not perfect. It's not quite there. And that's why I don't want to get baptized. Well, not about getting your life better. It's being saved from sin and condemnation of God. The very entrance as an ambassador to Christ is to acknowledge I am broken beyond repair. I can't save myself. Only by the grace of God goes. That's how you enter. And work of the Spirit. But here's the nugget that Paul gives that is so reassuring to my own heart this week. Because when Paul writes to his apprentice Timothy in 1 Timothy, Paul's been a Christian for a long time. It's a couple, 2 years away from his execution. He writes to Timothy, he said, you know what, once I was a blasphemer and insolent and persecutor. A lot of people misunderstand this. They say, wow, Paul never forgot his past and has been weighted by his guilt. No. Paul is swimming in God's grace when you read his writings. He did not live in fear or guilt, but he never forgot his past, where he came from. And that's why in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, he says, this is why I received mercy, because I was ignorant, unbelief. He had a wrong view of God. And he says, Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, that is sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. That's the way Paul sees it. You know what? My life in the past was really bad. I blasphemed God, but God had mercy on me. But you know what? You know why God saved me? Because I can be a display of God's long-suffering and patience to sinners. That's reassuring. Them as ambassador for Christ, you have to know the message and teach the message and proclaim the message in Christ alone. And it's through your life, even your broken and failure life, to say God's grace supersedes. It doesn't mean that you go off sinning. In other words, we proclaim the truth. We show the world through our lives that we are a work in progress. It's a privilege, but it absolutely removes any arrogance. And that's what it means to be an ambassador for U.S. ambassador. We're display. All right, okay, I gotta stop soon. We gotta do minister communion. So, you know, when I drive home, I drive westward to Lake Cook Road. And I make a left turn on Quinton Road. If you don't know, it's two major streets. And then about 8 months ago, there was a barren field on the southeast corner of that intersection. And this building started to go up. And my first thought was, praise God, because there were two small churches right behind it. God must bless them. And they're building up this church. And as the structure was going up, it looked glorious. Wow! And then about 2 months ago, I was driving, and the sign went up, Rolex. There's a company called Person and Robin, I don't know, fancy, exclusive jewelry. I was so disappointed. And then I thought to myself, hey, I want to go in there once. I want to see how expensive these jewelries are, right? I think you have to make appointments. I don't know. But you know what thought to me? I'm sure there are great-looking displays, expensive, very secure. But no one goes in there to say, wow, I want to look at these displays, and not the actual diamond in the display, no? But sometimes that's what we do. Look at me. I'm a pretty fancy display. Well, the whole time we're called to display the beauty of Christ. That's what we're called to do. And we do this by proclaiming the truth. Never forget the message. But at the same time, our lives, our fruits, and our failures are both display of God's grace. So students, take heart. That we are ambassadors for Christ, the works of an ambassador, and lastly, the heart of an ambassador. This is important. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So listen to Paul's writing. Who is he writing? To the believers at Corinth. He says, God is making his appeal through us, Paul and his fellow gospel workers. In other words, Paul says, God himself is making a serious and urgent request through us. God's message? Be reconciled to God. The first thing, what? Wait, he's addressing the church. He's addressing Christians. Aren't they already reconciled to God through Christ? To follow the argument, what Paul is saying is very critical. From chapter 2 through chapter 7, Paul has been building up his case. He doesn't need to. He knows who he is. But for the sake of the spiritual well-being of the believers at Corinth, he has been building up his case that he is an apostle. Paul is defending himself and his ministry, the way he does his gospel ministry. And the Corinthian assessment of Paul as an apostle, he's always suffering. He's always in prison. He's not even receiving money. He's working during the day. Was not according to the standard they had. It was a worldly standard. So they said, not an apostle, therefore. The people group that Paul invested a lot of time in loving and teaching and crying together has now turned their backs on him. But Paul says, we implore you. That's begging honestly, desperate, on behalf of Christ. So what Paul says is that we begging in behalf of Christ so that you would repent and return to the gospel. Because for Paul, if they turned their back on Paul, it meant that they would turn their back on the message he was proclaiming, which meant they would turn back on the gospel itself. In other words, Paul loved these people, even though they backstabbed him, called his name, and even demised his position. He goes out of his way, implores and begs. Listen to the message. You know what this teaches us? If we are ambassadors for Christ, opposition is guaranteed. That's what Jesus said. But love for soul pushes us forward. Opposition is guaranteed. If you're not being opposed, maybe you're not walking the life that God has called you. Opposition is guaranteed, but love for soul pushes us forward. It's the cross ministry. I also looked up, what is U.S. ambassadors' power? Do they have any power? They're appointed by the president, approved by the Senate, but they had no power to change the policy of the president. Did you know that? They're just channel of communication. If the country mistreats you or disagrees with the policy of the U.S. government, they're not actually disagreeing with you, but with the president of the United States. That's understanding who you are as an ambassador. If you are ambassador for Christ, when they diss you because of your faith and you share, they're actually calling out Christ, not you. We're just there to be a channel and to share the clear message of the gospel. Isn't that why Paul says when Jesus confronted him in the road to Damascus, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Paul wasn't persecuting Christ. He didn't even know he was risen. He was persecuting the church. And therefore, the heart of an ambassador is shaped by the gospel. Although facing oppositions, your love for soul pushes you forward. The love for the world, love for friends who don't know Christ, even friends or people who calls us out, we push forward because of love of God. So we speak and be an ambassador for Christ with the message that we teach, but the embodiment of the gospel. We share and proclaim the gospel, which is constantly elevating Christ crucified. Christ crucified. But you and I must recognize that the cross is not only our belief and our creed, but it is a standard of our life. It's not just creed we affirm to, but it shapes our life. That we are ambassadors for Christ, if you are in Christ, the work of an ambassador, the message is foremost in our lives that embodies the following crucified Messiah. And the heart of an ambassador for Christ is not only love for God, it translates to love for souls. Why? Because we know the ambassador of God. He was actually the president of the whole world, the universe. But he came into this world in human form, to live a life that you and I fail miserably, so that he can be a sacrificial lamb on the cross to bear the full penalty of sin, your past, your present, and your future. And he rose again. Say, it is done. Now, you are my ambassador. The one who took on the full penalty of sin, who heard the jeers of his creatures on that cross, who called out to his own father when he turned his own face. Why? To save sinners like you and me. That shapes our lives. We're saved by the gospel, but the gospel transforms us. I want to throw out a challenge for all of us. Students, when you go back to your school, teachers, when you go back, moms, when you head back home, taking care of infants, and you feel like there's nothing getting done except changing diapers and wanting to sleep 4 or 5 hours straight, whatever it is the exact place that God has placed you in. And you may be the only channel of God's amazing, transforming grace to your children, to your friends, to your peers. So live as ambassadors for Christ. We will partake in communion now, and I would invite you to spend some time in praying before you approach. It is table of grace like no other, but it is a table of warning, according to 1 Corinthians. If you are not in Christ, you are already under condemnation of God, according to John 3. It has not been removed. But if you are in Christ, it has been removed and placed on Christ. If this is true, the Bible says, receive this table, the elements of assurance. But if there are sins in your life, repent and receive forgiveness. But God says he will discipline his children. So it is a table of amazing grace and assurance, but it is also a table of conviction and repentance. May God have grace upon you and me this morning. Let's pray for a few minutes. Father, as you have opened this table for us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the work that he has accomplished of redeeming sinners, the plan that he carried out perfectly to fulfill your will. And so now, we as your redeemed ask for your Holy Spirit to work. that you would make our hearts tender to receive your grace, conviction to repent of our sins, and to know that we have been restored. And so, Father, before we approach, I borrow the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. And Father, I borrow the words of King David. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Father, that is our prayer. For where else can we turn for life and hope? That is only in you. Magnify yourself now. Make yourself great through the cross, through the empty tomb. May it shape us and change us so that we would gladly move forward as ambassadors of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.